Praise the Lord.
Good to see everyone tonight, and the Lord's blessed with a good day. I'm just so thankful and grateful that we can gather together in a place of peace.
Hallelujah.
I tell you what, that means a whole lot to me. I'm sure it does you all too. It's just good to be here where you don't have to worry about what somebody's thinking about you or somebody wanting to, you know, do something to you or like the world.
Yeah.
It's just a good place to be, I tell you what.
Praise the Lord.
And then you know what the good, just come to me, you know what the best thing is? We're going to a place where it's going to be like this all the time. It's just a little taste. But good to have you all here. And we'll ask Brother Buford if he'll lead us in a song, start a service. Thank you, Brother Buford. Good to see Sammy here.
Amen.
And I want to welcome the people in the parking lot, and however you might be listening in, good to have you all on the air, web, whatever. I feel like, I do feel like we need to pray, and but I do, before we do that, I just want to thank the Lord for what he done for Sunday night.
Amen.
Just for the blessings of that meeting. Been thinking about it all week.
Amen.
And don't think that the devil ain't trying to distract too. You know, the more we try to get our mind on the Lord, seems like the devil kicks in and works double time. But I do feel like we need to go to the Lord in prayer. A lot of lost out there.
Amen.
Anyone have a prayer request? got a, don't know exactly how much the Lord will have me read, but be sharing some with you in the book of Romans, chapter 12.
Bless you, brother.
There's all your prayers, and I just, I appreciate my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
I really appreciate you. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, that's not asking too much, is it?
No.
Not asking too much at all. Look what God's done for us. Look what he's done for us.
Amen.
Verse 2, and he says, continue, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I hate to tell you guys, you're just stuck with me for eternity.
Praise God, I'm glad we're connected.
Amen. But I, Lord put this on my heart. I've shared this 4 years ago. And, verse 2. And this, I tell you what, this really hit me because it just, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that's Satan's number one target, is our minds.
Your mind.
And if he can get us distracted and looking at something else and get us to thinking about other things, you know, then we have to be real careful. It just seems like anymore, you know, used to have little periods of rest, little seasons of rest. And now it seems like it's, you might deal with something that Satan's fighting against you with, and you just turn around. And right there's something else facing you again. And that's okay. You know what that tells me? My Lord and my Savior's fixing to come back and take us home. But I got to thinking, and just a little illustration to kind of help you. It helped me. Little simple things help me. I like the simple things. But everybody can see that's a napkin. And I can take this and I can pick this up and I can conform that to the shape of that right there. It's still a napkin though. It's just been conformed into a little bit different shape, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what the world wants to do. Wants us to conform to look like them, to act like them, to talk like them, to walk like them. To be them, copies of them. But Paul wrote here to the Romans, he said, be ye transformed. Now, if you take a match and light that and burn this, it's not going to be paper anymore. It's going to be ashes. It's going to be something different.
Right.
And that's what I want to be with the Lord's help and your all's prayers. I want to be something different.
Amen.
Not conform to the world, but transformed by the grace of God. And I hope that I wouldn't have to put a sign on my back saying I'm a Christian for people to know that.
Amen.
To me, that's the life that I want to live. I can't say nothing about you all. I believe you're all holy. I esteem you all highly, far highly above myself. Honestly, I do. Because I feel like I'm the least of God's children, and sometimes I even wonder why he even fools with me sometimes. But I'm glad he does.
Love, baby.
I'm glad he loves me, and he's patient with me and long-suffering. I'm just so grateful and glad for that. But I just want to encourage you, and I need your prayers. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you all. Let's pray for each other that our minds are protected from this world, and we're not drawn in by a lot of these things that are going on around. Tell you this real quick, because I want to, I'm anxious to hear Brother Paul. I'm hungry. We took a little trip Friday. We just rode over to Gatlinburg, and I was really, I tell you what, I didn't even want to get out of the car. I'm just going to be honest with you. I did not even want to get out of the car just because of what we saw. And you just, you look here and there's something you didn't really want to look at. And you try to turn away and here's something else, you know. And just the way people were acting and everything. And I thought, my. What's the world turning to? And I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be anything at all like that. And so I deserve your prayers, and I'll pray for you all.
Bless you,
we all just get to go to home, get to go home together.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it. And I hope that maybe we've helped you in some small way and encouraged you. I love you. And thank you all for loving me and Pat and letting us be a part of your little part of the body of Christ. Thank you all for that.
Easy to love, brother. Anybody got a song or anything tonight? Well, we'll try to sing a little then. But anyway, I like that scripture, don't you? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just like he said, you know, you go on vacations, you go different places. And like he said, when you get there, something to see, ain't it? I mean, it's just no shame no more. Just people just dress, just hardly no clothes on, Man ain't careful, he'll get drawn away by the lust of his own heart. And that's why we need to be taught how to guard our mind and to watch our mind. But Gene was talking about that napkin there. He wrapped it up and it looked round, but it's still a napkin. You put fire under that thing, and it won't be a napkin, but just maybe 4 or 5 seconds, and it'll be ashes. So what happens is, you'll see a change right before your eyes. It's white. But when he lights that thing directly, it'll be black, won't it? And a little pile of ashes, and it'll blow it away. And it's the way it is in our lives. We live, and Corinthians tells us that this tabernacle here is being dissolved. It's been drawn back to the dirt, back to the dust where it was made. And we'll go back there one day. But this right here will go up. That's my hope. I know this tabernacle here will be dissolved. Back to the dirt. But what God give us on the inside, go back to him. What he said, whether we therefore live or die, we are the Lord's. But I'm glad tonight to know that not only the Lord knows me, but I know him. We'll get to be together soon and live forever and ever and ever and ever over there in that good country where there be no death, no sickness, no sorrow. But anyway, I've got this, I guess since a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday, in the book of Acts, if you want to turn there, and You know, the church, I appreciate the other night people getting saved, and I seen some notes that people sent. One of them said it was the best service that had been in a long time, if not the best ever. And other notes that people encourage, and boy, that's good to see the church growing and people getting saved and born again. And I tell you, that does something to me, and I'm sure it does to you too. But we're still fishing. We're still trying to reach others with the gospel, that they might get saved and then take that message and take that life that they live out there to show the world. Like Donnie up there where he works, he's probably the only Bible that a lot of them will ever see is his lives. But here in this chapter tonight, I want to share with you about a man that he's a great man. But he started out, thought he was doing right. And then when something happened, boy, it completely changed his life. But anyway, in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, let's start reading at verse number 1. And Saul, we know that's Saul that was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel, that knew the old Bible. I mean, he was a well-read man, knowed a lot of different languages, and I mean a very, very smart man. But it said, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whoever they were, men or women, he might bring them bound in Jerusalem. And that way was that they turned into Christians. They were Christians. But in verse number 3 said, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what will that thou would have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless and hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. You may be seated tonight in the house of God. Now notice tonight what Paul said, or what Saul is saying right here. But I want you to jump over to chapter number 22 right quick like. Two references right here, and I'm going to share with you my thought tonight. But in this same book, in the 22nd chapter, and verse number 9 says this right here. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Another reference is 26 and 13. He said, and at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in an Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads. But I want to look here tonight just for a few minutes. Go back over in chapter number 9. that where we started out right here. But right here in the ninth chapter, in the second verse, notice what it said. Saul went to the high priest desiring what? Desiring of him letters to Damascus. And he said that if he found any of that way, where the men or women, he might bring them bound back to Jerusalem. Jump over with me to verse number 14, same chapter. And there he had authority from the chief priest to bind all, thank you, that call on thy name. Now listen tonight, we look here tonight and we see a man here that no doubt was a very, very educated man. He knowed the law. I mean, he not only knew the law, but he was part of what was called the Sanhedrin. I mean, they were perfection. They were people that, I mean, wore the robes and the little latchets around them. I mean, to look upon them, you'd think just as religious as you could possibly get. But anyway, here the church had been come down as we know it today in the second chapter, where they all the men that they were gathered there in that upper room where Jesus told them to go and wait on the promise. And they were there, and we know it as the day of Pentecost. And the Bible said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Bible said there was all men of all nations gathered there. And the Bible said that God allowed these men a special gift that day. They were able to preach in men's own language that they understood them. The all nations were gathered there. And they even said, why, these men are drunk. I mean, what's going on? Others said, well, how is it that we can hear them speak in our own language? And anyway, people by hundreds and then thousands got saved. And brother, and the church, as you and I know it, it began to grow. I mean, people, they would meet in their houses and they'd break bread daily. And boy, they had a lot in common. They had everything in common. I mean, they believed in the virgin birth. They believed in the crucifixion. They believed in the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus back to glory and waiting on the promise. And the promise came. And brother, they preached the gospel. They preached the word of God. And people got saved. And brother, when people begin to get saved, but this religious crowd, they got all been out of shape. And brother, we read right here that Saul was one of them. Brother, he thought he was doing God a favor. He thought that he was right. But I want you to notice tonight what we got on our heart. The Bible said there in chapter number 2 that he went to the chief priest desiring letters from him. And go over to the 14th verse. It wasn't only letters, but it was letters with authority. I mean, he could go over there and take those warrants in his hand, and he could actually arrest people, brother, and bring them back to Jerusalem bound. However, they were either men or women, it didn't matter. I mean, they had, their mind was to put a stop to it. But right here in this chapter right here, we see right here the conversion of Saul. Now, I believe Saul, brother, he was on that road to Damascus. And if you'll study that thing a little bit, I believe from Jerusalem up to Damascus, I mean, according to the map, it may be off a little bit, but I believe it's a little over 100 miles from there. He had a journey to go while he was going up there, and brother, and I believe he got just about maybe there. I mean, I mean, the devil, he'll allow people to go just maybe get to the point of where they're going. But God said, that's enough. I mean, that's enough right here. But I want to talk to you tonight about what happened right here. The Bible said, Brother, when he was on that road to Damascus, he said there was a great light that shined down from God out of heaven. And Brother, that light, I mean, it was a blinding light. I mean, he was blind for 3 days. And Brother, but anyway, I want you to think about this. As he was going there, Brother, that great light, Brother, that shined down from God out of heaven. I mean, the Son of God, and Brother, and they all fell to the earth, the Bible said. And Brother, but the notable thing about this is, they didn't nobody hear the voice except Saul. And you think about this tonight. How would it be a preaching on a thought? What happened to the letters? What happened to the warrants? And the thing about it is tonight, these letters were, and what they were doing, they were going to bind people. They was going to bound people and put them in jail and put them in a place that they couldn't do. Now think about this tonight. What is the objective of the devil? He wants to bind us. He wants to get us in a place where we can't worship, we can't praise God, we can't thank God, we can't serve God, we can't witness for God, we can't win people to God. But I've got news for you tonight, beloved. We're right here. You'll find in this word, Brother, you don't hear nothing else about them letters. You don't hear nothing about those letters with authority. Just like Gene right here. I mean, I don't know. The Bible don't say. I mean, I could maybe do a little of a history or something, but it ain't Bible, so I don't know whether I'd be afraid of it or not. Probably would be. But I tell you what I believe. I believe old Saul, I believe he had those letters in his hand. And you think about this tonight. Back of this right here, he was in such a place. There was an old preaching deacon. His name was Stephen. And Brother, he was preaching the word of God. And Brother, they had to put a stop to it. And Brother, you know what happened? I believe the Bible teaches us that they brought their garments and they laid them on this man right here's arms. Saul held their coats while they stoned Stephen. But I like what God's Bible said. The Bible said that Stephen had a heart of love, did he not? Father, don't they forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And what did the Bible say that he seen? And the Bible said he seen, that he seen heaven open up. But as he was a dying, as he was a being stoned. And you know what the Bible said? And the Bible said the Son of God stood up. And I preached a message one time. Brother, when they killed old Stephen, hey, just some things Jesus can't take sitting down. Brother, when one of his precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of one of the saints of God. Brother, the Bible says that Jesus got up. And thank God tonight. Now then we get back to Saul that was part of that. And I don't know, they say everything. That Paul had a thorn in his side. And Brother, I don't know what it is. Nobody that the Bible don't say. But he asked the Lord 3 times to take it away. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I don't know about you, but that thorn, it could have been holding them coats while they killed Stephen. It could have been he had some kind of physical infirmity. But I don't know what it is. The Bible don't say. But I know what Paul said. He said, I am now ready in my departures in hand. He said, I fought the good fight of faith and kept the faith. Hey, it's more, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not only me, unto me, but all those that will believe the word of God. Think about this. Here they was on the road to Damascus, and Paul, Saul, he had them warrants in his hand, brother, when that light maybe had them in his coat. I don't know where they was, but he asked for them, and they were letters with authority. He probably had them on his person. But brother, when God's light shined down that day, and they all fell to the earth, but nobody heard the voice except for old Saul. And the Bible don't say, and I don't know when it happened, but he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And you know what Paul means? It means little. It means humility. Hey, tonight, you know what I believe he's saying? He said, my name ain't Saul no more. He said, my name's Paul. Why is that? He said, because I've got to decrease. And God and Jesus has got to, decrease, and he's got to increase. I say tonight, boys and girls, men and women, have these things in mind in your life that's trying to bound us down and trying to bind us. But I tell you what we ought to do with them. We ought to try to put them right at the feet of Jesus. We ought to let that great light that shine down from God out of heaven. Brother, you know what happened. Them letters got transformed. Them letters got changed. They wasn't letters of a threat, or they wasn't letters. They might have started out as a letter with authority. But Paul said this right here. Thank God tonight that he let me burn the letters. Thank God tonight he let me get rid of the things that was binding me down. I'm as religious as I can be, he said. But he said, I count it all as done. That I may know the Christ and the power of his resurrection. There was a lot of them, boys and girls, that seemed the light. But they wasn't but one hearing the voice. And just like the other night in the house of God, the glory of God come down. And brother, you know what they done? I hear one of them broke down like a shotgun. I didn't know what he was wanting. But Debbie said he don't want to be right. What she said was, God was speaking to it. I couldn't hear it, but he could. But we came and failed. And right on down the line, the same thing. Just like Bill the other night. God was on him. I couldn't hear it, but he could. I tell you why. Because he was tears and said, Lord, come into my heart and come into my life. And just like I asked the other one, Donnie, when you got saved that Sunday, brother, they were lying in here. We all saw the light, but we didn't hear the voice. But thank God tonight I seen the light one day. And not only seen the light, but I heard the voice. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I tell you what I want you to do. Get rid of the things that's binding you down and bounding you up, where you can worship and serve me. Praise the Lord. Think about this. He had letters in his hand. Warrants. And them warrants, I believe they were warrants with authority behind them. You think about this. I've seen, heard a little bit about this over the years. They come to your house. I'm blinder than a bat. You wait till I get my new eyes in glory, praise God. You know, they'll come to your house and they'll knock on the door, and I hope they never do, but they'll come on the door and say, we want to come in and search your house. I said, you got a warrant? They say, they stick a piece of paper up in my face. That gives them the authority to come in and search my house. That gives them the authority to search my car. That gives them the authority to do whatever that they need to do. Listen, beloved, that's what Saul had in his hand. He had letters with authority I mean, even when you go down and read Ananias, there that seen the vision, and so on and so forth, and read on down about that, they even say for themselves, hey, we're afraid of this man. We hear that he's done much damage to the church, and we're afraid he's come down here to do the same thing. And maybe God said down the road some more, hey, boy, you got it wrong. That might have been his intentions when he left. But he burnt the letters on the road. He said, my brightness destroyed them letters. How you think the brightness of his second coming, it's going to destroy things. It's going to burn this earth up. But I've got news for you tonight. I pray God he's still bright enough. That the burn up thing that's abiding in the smell. And I say tonight, the churches are getting freer and freer to worship and praise God. But I still say out there, tuned in by the radio, however you might be, get rid of the things that's binding you down and keeping you from coming to the house of God and worshiping God and enjoying the fruit that God's allowed us to see here. Get rid of the letters. Get rid of the things that are destroying you. Let me tell this one time. They got a letter on the windshield of the car. We feel like the Lord's done with you down here. But they didn't sign it. Well, if I'm going to threaten you, I'm going to have the guts to come to you. I said, well, it's a funny thing to me. If the Lord's done with me down here, look like he told me, boy, don't you. Ain't that something? People do anything to try to stop the word of God. People will do anything to try to hinder the work of God and the word of God. I tell you what, God give us a backbone like a railroad steel. And give us a spirit as harmless as a dove. And give us some good love to preach under. And preach the truth. Preach the word of God. Hey, it ain't bound, beloved. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Cutting even to the asunder. Here was a man. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And he was a man that had authority. He had letters. He had warrants with authority. But when God got a hold of him, brother, what happened to the letters? What happened to the warrants? I don't know. You don't hear nothing else about them. You know what he's saying? I believe down there in that jail, hey, Silas, he set me free. I believe you hollered back yonder. What was it making that basket to let him down that wall? Hey, I'm free as a bird. Thank God for that. I'm glad, praise God, that God's still burning things in my life to help me to get more free in the worship and preaching and praising of him. I went through a little storm at work. Society just tried to discourage me. He told me under the bus and thought about what Gene said. Come down here where you can love people and trust people. Had me in the back, called me. All this all love up to me. Didn't turn around and told me you're on the bus. But I'll guarantee you it's happened over the years. That same crowd that's done you that way, they'll kneel at your feet one day. They'll say, I need you to pray for his mom, your daddy, your brother, or sister. Don't give up, pray God. They may have letters in their hands now. The fire's on the way. They may have threats in their hands now. The fire's on the way. I don't know why I thought about that, Donnie. I've never told the church. But get a letter on your windshield. We feel like God's done with you down here. Hey, if he is, looks like he told me. Wouldn't he pray, God? I tell you what it is. It's things that bind people. They're bound down. And they're seeing the churches getting loose and getting free. And you know what it does? It shines a light on that religious crowd. But praise God tonight. I'm glad that he set me free. Once like a bird, it's Thank God one day had the light shine down. And when I shine down, I heard that voice and I burned the letters. Why, people's crazy. Don't want to see people do good. You think I don't want to see Ashley grow up and be a wonderful example to others in church?
Yeah.
You think I don't want to see these boys and girls over here grow up and be a great example to their homes or wherever they are? You think I don't want to see Bill, praise God, turn out to be the one of the best old time Christians in the world? If a man ain't got that heart, he's dead or 4 o'clock.
Amen.
I want to see your boys saved. I want to see your family saved. I want to see them hear the voice and surrender to him. And I can't help it. Just burn everything that's hindering your journey and keep on marching to the city of God. Well, it's all God. So this only thing I know to tell you, let me put my candy back in my mouth. The only thing I know to tell us tonight is there's a lot of people see the light. There ain't a whole lot of people hear the voice. But if you hear the voice, you'll burn things that hinders others. If I thought, Donnie, that the way I stood at that back door and welcomed somebody, bothered somebody, and wasn't comfortable or something, I quit. I mean, I could stop doing that. Yeah, I mean, just anything that you feel like hindering somebody else, don't quit doing it. Let them have their best opportunity, the best ability to do what they can do for the glory of God. Because I tell you what, we all started out as babes. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Why? That you may grow thereby. Then when you grow in the things of God, it won't be long, actually, you'll get a little piece of something a little more solid. Maybe sometimes things are getting a little bit hard to swallow. But if you water it around, mull it around a little bit and think about it and realize and just say, hey, that's right. That's the truth. And you get it down, it'll make you stronger.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I love the Apostle Paul. I don't understand all of it, and they say this, that, and the other. But if the Lord lets me and I get to meet him one day, Jesus will let me. I don't mean I'd like to keep going to yours and yours and yours. There's something special about this man right here. He was as religious as he could get. But there was a light got a hold of him one day, and a voice come out of that light. Burn everything. I mean, it changed. He went on to tell us about what happened. He became a new creature, a new creation. All things were passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Get rid of the things that bind us, baby. Get rid of the things that bound us down. Just like a while ago, when that Sammy come in a while ago, we got a good relationship. I said, they barred him short of work. I know they didn't, but we ought to feel comfortable around one another. For a man to have friends, he first got to show himself friendly.
Amen.
Love people for who they are. Just love people, and you watch God change people right before our very eyes. And if we'll keep all of our papers and our letters burnt and stay free, we'll get to see more. These young people, they'll win somebody. Bill, reach people that I can't reach. You can reach people that I can't reach. But in this together, praise God, we'll start a fire down here and have a good old-fashioned letter burning. get rid of things that bind us down. Anything before we dismiss? I don't want to bind people. I don't want my actions, I don't want to make people feel like they're uncomfortable or bound and can't worship. Thank God he set me free one day. Thank you, Debbie. I ain't got no sense. God, I'll tell you what happened.